Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears here with Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson on vacation on this Friday night in Hawaii. And if you didn't know, this is the official show of NCAA March Madness. That's what you're tuned into here. The official show, I say again, of NCAA March Madness.
Self-proclaimed.
No, I believe there's some paperwork that's been filed.
During that
break, I ran down and filed some paperwork, got it notarized, and we now are the official show of NCAA March Madness coming up.
Absolutely, yeah, look at that.
Who knew? Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right. Well, let's get into the big topic of the week, and that is the Hall of Fame, the Wrestling Hall of Fame coming up in Philadelphia. I'm going to read the story because maybe you haven't heard it yet. Thunderbolt Patterson, a name that's familiar here to all of us at the station. I think he's done four or five separate stints here at the station. To be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024. This was announced on Wednesday, and this was released from the WWE. A hugely influential, although often overlooked, figure in sports entertainment history, Patterson's captivating abilities on the microphone inspired a generation of talkers that followed in his footsteps. Growing up in Iowa, Patterson moved to Texas and worked for the legendary promoter Dory Funk Sr., father of WWE Hall of Famers Dory Funk Jr. and Terry Funk, where he began performing incredible interviews using a delivery inspired by black Southern pastors. Patterson was also a contemporary of WWE Hall of Famer Dusty Rhodes and was often credited with inspiring the American Dream's charismatic persona. Patterson's work as a captivating performer was self-evident, but he was also a fierce advocate for the health and welfare of competitors outside the ring. His legacy as a showman with his signature quick punches, his incredible blend of power and speed, and his compassion for his fellow man live on as an influence that can still be seen in the ring today. Thunderbolt Patterson goes into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024, April 5th, 3 weeks from tonight, 21 days, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you can watch it live on the Peacock Network starting at 10 p.m. in a sold-out Wells Fargo Arena, over 21,000 strong.
You know, I watched the WWE a little bit as a kid, but besides that, I never really got all the big into WWE, but,
I haven't watched it in decades, but I know Thunderbolt Patterson.
I got, like, Rey Mysterio, and I got, like...
No, see, that's prior to all this.
John Cena, and, you know, Triple H, and Hulk Hogan. I know Hulk Hogan.
But this is so weird. This whole thing is just bizarre to me. This whole situation. It's an unbelievable situation.
Well, I mean, I think it's just one of those things that's... it definitely doesn't happen to everybody.
Doesn't happen to anybody.
Well, I mean, it happened.
Not in this state. 31 years of the Hall of Fame, and I don't think anybody... Matter of fact, I will go out on a... I don't think anybody on a... You know... I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. I don't know how it's even happening. Do you know what the viewership on this will be? Over 21,000 people in the arena. That's just the arena.
I was going to say like 25.
Oh, it'll be millions on the Peacock. Do you know how many people watch the little SmackDown show on? It's on right after SmackDown that night.
No clue.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, but I'm sure it's millions.
Interesting.
And this is WrestleMania weekend. WrestleMania 40.
Is that like their Super Bowl?
That's their big show. But what did Thunderbolt say this morning? The attendance at WrestleMania over 2 days is something like 200,000 people.
Do you just buy tickets for like one match, or how does that go?
No, it's a 2 day. It used to be a 1 day event, but they were selling out football stadiums easily. So they had to sell out a football stadium 2 days in a row to accommodate all the people.
Might as well just...
Football can't do that.
Well...
I don't think people understand how... Number one shows on cable each and every week, wrestling.
So how much are tickets to WWE matches?
These events? Oh, hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars.
People come from different countries. The WWE is a global thing. I mean, they're big in Australia. They're big in Indonesia. Look at the countries they're in.
The NFL's big in those places.
They just signed a deal with Netflix to put their little program on Netflix for something like $10 billion.
The NFL's trying to make a European league. Well, not trying to make a European league. Just trying to make like an international football league.
But my thing here was, just Google, how many people watch the SmackDown every week? I bet you it's 2 or 3 million. Because this will be on
Raw SmackDown?
I think they're two different things, but I'm not really sure. But that's the cable show. How many people watch that? Because it's on right now, 8 to 10 on Friday night. Do we have any numbers?
Since Dwayne Johnson returned to the ring in January, Friday Night SmackDown has seen some significant audience growth.
Oh, here we go.
The average demo audience for the first quarter of 2024 has been around 900,000 viewers. That's up about 16% versus last year's.
Now, that's just the core audience. How much is the total audience?
What do you mean?
That's just the demo. That's the core demo. That's like the 18 to 49-year-olds. What's the total audience?
I just looked up average viewership. I don't know.
Talk for a second. I'll get the total audience here.
Okay. Well, so while Scott does that, I think WWE has I actually like the WWE. I just... It kind of bothers me that it's... what's the word that you like to use?
2.5 million.
Viewers.
Each week. And 0.75 in the 18 to 49 demographic, outranking all sports telecast, including NBA. There you go. Enough said.
I don't know. I know a few people who like it.
But, oh, there's quite a few people. About 2.5 million every week.
I think I know one. I know two. I went to school with one.
Well, I mean, it's irrelevant. Those are the numbers. And that's the way it is.
I guess it's just not big around here.
Oh, it's big. I'm getting... ever since I made the announcement, I'm being told where parties are that weekend and things like that. I don't think people realize the interest that wrestling has. Now, I don't follow it anymore, but... it does have a significant interest with people. The Rock went. The Rock, I think, is the number one movie star now. He's in wrestling.
Well, I think The Rock is... I think The Rock is a better actor than he is a wrestler, which is why he's so big now. And
Donald Trump's in the WWE Hall of Fame. I just got that message. In the celebrity wing.
Oh.
This year, going in the celebrity wing, though, by the way, Muhammad Ali.
How?
His wife.
Because
Muhammad Ali was the referee for the main event at the first WrestleMania. I remember that.
I did not know that.
Yep. The first WrestleMania was big stars. Muhammad Ali was the referee. Liberace was the bell ringer or the timekeeper.
How long was it a big thing that Muhammad Ali evaded the draft?
Not long. I mean, years, but it wasn't...
'Cause like,
60s, 70s, okay. Late 60s.
Okay. I mean, I just know...
But he's going in the Hall of Fame. That just tells you the breadth of the Hall of Fame.
I mean, I think Muhammad Ali should have done been in the Hall of Fame, personally. I think Muhammad Ali should have been in there before The Rock.
Well, The Rock's, I don't think, is in the Hall of Fame yet.
No, I thought you said he was.
No, Donald Trump's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, he should have been in there before Donald Trump.
There's a lot of people in the celebrity wing. I believe Drew Carey's in there. I think Donald Trump's in there. Bob Uecker's in there. Muhammad Ali will be this year. Andy Kaufman's in there.
I know two of the five.
Well, again, how many people are going to be watching the Hall of Fame? The Hall of Fame comes on immediately following SmackDown. So you think all those 2.5 million are just going to go away?
Maybe. I don't know.
Highly unlikely.
I mean, it's kind of like the Grammys. Who watches the Grammys? Or like the Golden Globe.
About 10 million people.
Oscars or those things.
The Oscars. The Oscars are watched by millions of people.
I don't know. I guess it's just not something I watch.
The point is, there's going to be at least a million, and that's lowballing, watching this thing live.
I'm not saying there's not going to be a lot of people watching. I don't know what you want me to say.
But you doubt that there'll be... When the show immediately preceding it is a wrestling show that's seen by 2.5 million people each week on WrestleMania week, you think everybody's going to turn the television off when this Hall of Fame comes on?
I wouldn't say everybody.
I wouldn't even say anybody. I bet it will grow because the show's on every week. The Hall of Fame's once a year.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could compare it to the other Hall of Fame events. I don't know that much about WWE.
Well, I don't either, but the point is, here's who... I know that they have a huge audience.
Okay.
Like, there's some doubt of this.
I'm agreeing.
You should know these things.
There's an audience base.
You should know this.
Why?
Because it's the number one sports show... beating football, basketball, hockey, all that, in the 18 to 49-year-old demographic.
That's sad.
No, it's true. Factual. And in 2 days, WrestleMania will put 200,000 people in Philadelphia.
I mean, I think if they held two Super Bowls, they could fill up two stadiums.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think people are angry with the NFL. I think people last year, they needed Taylor Swift to whip their stuff up.
I don't think so.
In any event.
And then they cheated.
In any event. Thunderbolt Patterson going in the Hall of Fame, it's a great, great thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm glad we got there. And he did his first interview where?
Here.
Right here. Where else? And he's coming from the Hall of Fame where?
To here.
Right here. So it's like...
He might even be at... Is he going to be at the Solar Eclipse event?
Could be.
Exciting.
Isn't this interesting? Does timing not just work out?
I mean, I think so.
You know at the NFL when they say, what are you going to do now that you've won the NFL? I'm going to Disney World. What are you going to do now that you're in the Hall of Fame? I'm going to WGH in Marion, Ohio. Because we are the official show of NCAA March Madness.
I think you might want to be working on being the official show of the WWE.
We're the official show of WrestleMania, too, I believe. We're certainly the official show of the Hall of Fame. I know that.
All right. I mean, I can get behind that.
Yeah, I believe that's already a done deal.
One of these days, I'm going to... I don't know. One of these days...
But here's what is hard for me to believe. That the man was asked, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Okay, great. Greatest day of his life is what he said this morning it would be. And they say, who do you want to induct you? That is so bizarre to me. But there you go.
I can't actually speak on it. No offense to you, but I haven't listened to any of your Thunderbolt Patterson interviews, nor have I.
Oh, look any into them. Okay, they're entertaining. Interviews. Look into them.
I mean, I don't doubt it. I came in the other day when you were listening to him, and I never put the headset on because I was eating my Subway. But I could. You asked him to do something in a Thunderbolt Patterson voice, and he got hyped up.
Most interesting man. He's just fascinating. The way he talks, I don't know if I have any... You know, we should have some Thunderbolt Patterson clips here since we're heading into Thunderbolt Patterson-ville here.
You know, I'm cool with that.
I would think we'd have a clip or something.
No clips of Thunderbolt Patterson.
I'm sure we got something.
Well, I'd hope so. I mean, especially, I mean, if we don't have anything yet, we got to have something soon. He's Hall of Famer soon.
Right. Let's see here. Well, you know, let me try to go into the files here. I'm sure we've got something, Thunderbolt Patterson. We've got some station IDs that he did. Thunderbolt and Ted, I don't know what that is. We've got a lot of shows with him, I do know that. I'm trying to think of something short that we would have with him. You want to hear Thunderbolt Patterson? It's not Christmas time. You want to hear Thunderbolt Patterson reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas"?
Sure.
Here, now this will just give you... This is Thunderbolt Patterson. Here you go, here on WGH. Thunderbolt Patterson, Hall of Famer.
The place for holiday fun. For legendary pro wrestler reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas," Thunderbolt Patterson.
Heaven high, this is Thunderbolt Patterson. It was the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stocks were all hung by the chimney with care and hoping that Saint Nick would soon be there. Hey, hey, y'all get ready now. You know what it's all about? It's all about Christmas and them presents. All y'all know about them. He spoke not a word, but went straight to work. Y'all know who I'm talking about. He spoke not a word and went straight to work and filled all the stocking, then turned with a jerk and laid his finger aside of his nose and gave a nod up the chimney he rode. He sprung on his sleigh and his team gave a whistle and away they all flew like a down whistle. But I heard him say as he drove out in sight, say happy Christmas to all of you and to all a good night. Merry, Merry Christmas. Y'all know how that thing go, but I can't stay focused enough. Give you the whole thing. But Merry, Merry Christmas. Hang them stocking by them. Get them ready for Santa because he's on his way. I heard news say he's up north. He's on his way. Tonight's the night. Love you. Be good.
Very happy holiday season.
Now tell me that's not entertainment. That man is, he's nuts. He's great. Here's a station idea, then we'll come back. This is the official Thunderbolt Patterson WGH station ID. By the way, we're the official show of the WWE Hall of Fame. Thank you very much. Just say these things.
Heaven high, I'm Thunderbolt Patterson. I'm here in Marion, Ohio. Call somebody. Tell somebody that some new things going to be discussed around here from now on. The new sheriff is in town, and we're going to talk. Call me. Let's talk. Let's dialogue. Let's see what's going on. Fill me in, and I'm going to surely give you my opinions.
See, there you go. So what do you make of Thunderbolt?
He seems like an interesting fellow.
his delivery is just... He's got so much charisma, this man. He just is... It radiates off of him. He's got the riz.
He's got the riz.
He's got the riz.
You know, that's got to be my least favorite word. That's
really, it's new.
That's,
it's a, it's
that's
the thing now.
Come out,
go on, and I will be inducting this man into the Hall of Fame.
How does it feel, Scott?
Well, I really don't know because I you know, the truth is we haven't really reached a final agreement yet, so it could be all for naught at this point. But at least I can say that he's on record as saying he asked for me.
Yeah, I mean that's true. I mean, how does it feel for to be specifically requested to induct him into the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I feel like I should be a guest on somebody's show because I think I should have things to talk about now.
I mean, I think you've done been had things to talk about.
Well, this is a big thing. This is the season, and I've been asked, and it's a wonderful. It's an honor just to be asked. But like I said, I don't know because there's two problems with this whole thing. Number one, I don't know anything about wrestling now. It's been years and years and years. And number two, we just haven't come to final terms on this agreement.
I don't think you have to know much about wrestling. I mean, I suppose it'd probably be nice, but I think you're inducting Thunderbolt Patterson into the Hall of Fame, and you've interviewed Thunderbolt Patterson lots of times.
Oh, we've been up and down the road. Yeah. We've been up and down the road.
It should be easy for you. You got to give, I mean, I don't know how long the speech should be, but, you know, you got to give a speech, but, I mean, you've interviewed the man enough times where I'm sure you can make a solid speech.
I think I could do him justice. The question is, I mean, this is very, I think, I don't know. We'll see what happens. You'll know more as the weeks go along. But they have called, I will tell you that. The WWE, it's a weird call, I can now say, I haven't told the story, but I get a call one Saturday morning, and this guy goes, I don't want to say his name, but he goes, this is blah, blah, blah from the WWE, and I'm thinking, what? What is this all about? And then he said, Mr. Patterson wanted me to, could have announced at that time, Mr. Patterson wanted me to call you, and I never did know exactly what it was all about until Wednesday.
Why all the secrecy?
Because they didn't want it to get out. They didn't want people to know that he was going to be inducted is what I found out, but I didn't know till Wednesday. I mean, I assume that's what it was with all the phone calls and all the folderol, but I think he had to agree, and then they had to get his inductor in. I don't think they were going to announce anything until they had all their chips in place.
I mean, that's probably the best way to do it.
Well, I think that's what, and I think when they called him, they probably said, don't say anything. And when they called me, they said, don't even talk about us calling you.
Nice.
So, there you go. That's why I never talked about it.
Good stuff.
But I don't know. If it happens, we'll do the Friday show from Philadelphia. We'll do the Friday morning show. There will be no Friday night show that week because we'll be at the Hall of Fame because that's when it is. But you can watch us on Peacock.
Yeah, that's the replacement for Friday Night Live, yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing's just bizarre, but I like this man. He's good to me. I've always gotten along with him, so.
Oh, yeah, he seems like a likable man.
You going to run around with him when he's here?
Yeah, maybe.
You don't need something to do. And I'll tell you, it's wonderful because at this point in his life, 82 and a half years old, to get this honor and to still be able to go there and accept it and be cognizant. Obviously the body's not what it used to be, but the brain is still totally there, and that's what he was great at. I mean, he was interesting in the ring, if you ever watch him wrestle, but it was the way he spoke that was entertaining.
I mean, I think that's what people liked about Hulk Hogan a lot of the times is, I mean, like, come to learn from you, Hulk Hogan himself thought he was a poor wrestler, but, I mean, I think he had a whole bunch.
He had the riz.
He had a whole bunch of catchy slogans that people liked, and the way he spoke, he had I think his delivery was just spot on every time, and it worked out well for him.
There are certain guys from certain eras that just had charisma. Thunderbolt Patterson was one of them. Hulk Hogan was one of them. But there are very few that had it.
Well, I mean, I don't think it was so much about the charisma. I think that people who were in the WWE were probably there more so for the wrestling.
I don't know. You got to be a good talker. You got to talk them into the building.
I mean, yeah, you have to have, I mean, some, like, sellability, but, I mean.
It's so weird to me. Another thing about this that's weird is that I have been saying as of late, things, you know, we had the great election coverage in November. How are you going to top that? Then, bam, we had two Christmas tree lightings, asked to light the Christmas tree in front of 2,000 people in downtown Marion. How are you going to top that? And then, bam, we had the Miss Ohio as the groundhog, and that got national attention. How are you going to top that? Bam, the Mary Ellen Withrow 30th anniversary happens. Two news stories in the paper, 2,500 people in 2 days, AP story, bam, bam, bam. How are you going to top that? Well, the WWE calls up and says, what are you doing April the 5th? I mean, I don't know why this stuff keeps happening.
I mean, I don't know. I think the station, I mean, I don't know. I think that the station.
This tiny little station.
It's on a roll.
It's on a roll. I think it's the synergy. It's the right people at the right time doing the right things.
I mean, that's always a plus when you have people who aren't, for lack of a better term, I guess, wasting their potential.
Dead weight. Get some dead weight around here. We had to cut the dead weight.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
You know, if I was those people, and I'm not telling them, but I'd be jealous if I was those people.
Why?
Well, because they're missing out on all this stuff. Now, they can say they don't care, but when they look back at their sad and pathetic lives, I believe that they will realize what they missed out on.
So why are you jealous of them?
Well, I'm not jealous. I think they should be jealous of what's going on here.
Well, I thought you said you were jealous of them.
No, God, no.
I was about to say, that makes no sense.
No, but they would say, I don't care. They'd say, I don't care that I'm not there anymore, but I think deep down they do.
They probably, I mean, I'd say deep down probably, but I think they probably moved on to...
Do you think this is going on with other stations, any of these things?
No, I mean, not around here that it seems.
Darn right. Well, anywhere. Find me this stuff, that lineup of stuff going on anywhere. 2,000 at the Christmas tree lighting, 2,500 at the Mary Ellen events, now 21,000.
I mean, I think that... ABC and CBS and Fox and NBC and all the...
But they're not the official station of the NCAA March Madness.
I'm not sure that we are.
Oh, we are. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything you would like to talk about. All right. Well, we're running out of time, so we're going to have to get a couple topics in here. Maybe something. I don't know. What do we... we don't want to do that one. That's a little heavy. I don't want to do that one. What's something kind of light and... Well, we've talked about this one before, but I don't think we've talked about it on this show. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but I think it's worth talking about. Singer. I said she was a actress, but apparently she's a singer. Lily Allen was on a podcast recently and said having children ruined her career. She said you can't have it all, no matter how hard you try. And I agree with her. I believe that's right.
I mean, I agree. I don't think, I mean, having that's like the saying goes, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I mean, if you want to have a career like an actor or an artist or something like that, you have to be willing to sacrifice something because you don't have, you physically do not have enough time to commit to everything. So you have to make a choice. So, I mean, good on her for making the choice she did, I guess.
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily good that she made the choice that she did. I think she made the choice that she thought was right, and that's okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Good on
but
her
I think now she looks back at it and says, boy, I ruined my career by doing that.
I mean... I don't know. Did she say it in like a spiteful way?
No, I don't think it was spiteful, but I think she was just saying, for those of you who think that you're going to have it all, that's not reality.
I mean, I think that's fair.
You can work at certain jobs and probably have close to it all, but a career, that's a little different because careers are demanding.
I think you're doing that thing where you make your own definition for words.
No. When did I ever do that?
All the time.
Name a time when I've done this.
Well, now, but like, okay, next time you do it, I'll point it out again.
Please point it out when
it's happened.
Yeah. No, I'm just, there's a difference between a job and a career.
Yeah, I know, but like.
What's the problem with that? I didn't make it up.
Your definition of a career is not what a career is.
That's your opinion.
No, that's not the definition.
A physical definition is not always what it means.
If I get on the Merriam-Webster dictionary and it says that the definition is...
Who is Merriam-Webster? This woman's dead for years.
I don't know.
She's not writing definitions anymore.
Somebody's doing it for her.
Well, I don't trust those people. They come up with words like riz.
I don't think they came up with it. I think they just adopted it.
A career is something you have to work at that's very competitive, that you can't just, you know, jive your way through. All right, go ahead, caller.
So you're not leaving, Scott?
Well, I, you know, it's all very vague. Did you hear what the news was?
Yeah, so you're going to do the presentation for the WWE?
Maybe. You know, we really have not hammered this all down yet. I really don't know. I mean, I can't say yes. They've called, I can tell you that. We've talked a couple times.
Well, that's good. I was worried that you were, like, going to be moving on to CNN or something.
Well, you know, that could be. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. But
they need some help over there.
They do. I was worried. I was like, I'm not going to have anybody to call in and bother and argue with on occasion.
Now, what do you make of this WWE announcement?
I think it's really cool, and I congratulate you.
I mean, how does that happen? Like I said, I haven't agreed to do it yet, coincidentally, but that is so bizarre that that would ever happen. I mean, that doesn't happen to people.
So did he recommend you to do it? Is that what happened?
Well, they asked him who he wanted to induct him, and he said me. I guess that was my understanding.
That's special. Yeah. Good for you, Scott. I'm happy for you.
Well, yeah, but like I said, I don't know that I'm going to do it because there are just some things we would need to iron out before that would happen. But, you know.
Yeah, no, it's an honor. Yeah.
It is an honor because I don't know that anybody ever out of Marion, Ohio has had that type of audience. 21,000 people, sold out arena, and broadcast live on the Peacock that night.
Yeah, no, that's, I don't think anybody ever has. Maybe only larger crowds from Warren G.
I think you might be right. And I don't think that, and certainly in his day, there was no television. So I think it would be the top.
It would be.
I would pass Warren Hardy.
Does that make you icon status?
Well, it might be getting there. You know, I don't like to toot my own icon, but it may be getting to that point. You know, I bet now I could really have people thrown in the Olin Tangi, and we'd never hear from them again.
Right, you can get away with it.
I could get it done now. All I got to do is call the WWE up. They can get things done.
Yeah, just like when Trump says he could shoot somebody on Main Street and get away with it. You could throw something in the Olin Tangi.
I could. You know, it's an interesting thing. I don't know. I thought it was very nice that he recommended me. You know, we've had a nice relationship over the years, but it's not like we see each other every day. I mean, I think he's come here 4 times, and it was
just... Well, that's just like people for your birthday calling you Sally Jesse Raphael and Dick Cavett and, you know, the whole slew of, you know, broadcasting and entertainment icons. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, how many million people have had that?
You know, but honestly, and people think this is like immodesty. I don't know why that happens. I don't understand it. I don't know why Phil Donahue invited me to his house. I'm glad he did. I don't know why these people say these nice things. Nobody's holding a gun to their head. I don't know why Thunderbolt Patterson said this. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why any of it happens, if you really want to know. But I'm glad it does. It's been a nice, happy life. But why it happens, I have no idea.
It's a blessing.
It's something. It's something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's you know, best thing I can figure is it's luck, being in the right place at the right time. But it's an interesting life. That's what I was saying. It is so hard for me to be upset or angry about anything because life has been so good. And that, boy, that does sound Pollyanna-ish, but I have gotten to do things that nobody gets to do. And, you know, it's been good for me.
Well, you're doing what you want to do, right?
I am, and I think that probably is why I am a little critical of people who I think are just trying to get by that day, you know, trying to get by with that marriage, trying to get by with that relationship, trying to get by with that job, you know, just getting to the paycheck, because I think you can do what you want to do and succeed. It just takes work.
Yeah, and keep in mind that the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you chase money, first and foremost, most of the time you're not going to be happy. You may be successful, but you're probably not going to be happy. But if you chase what you love, hopefully the money will follow, but at least you'll be happy.
Well, you know what's odd, though? Speaking of CNN, you know, I have been offered... I was on CNN once when the Helen Thomas thing broke years ago, but... What's odd is I've had offers to do other things, and I have always turned them down. Now, people think that's crazy, but I turn them down because I mean, I've had offers from things in New York. I've had offers from things in Arizona. I've had offers from things in California. Other places in Ohio. You know, it just never seemed to me like a good idea. Because I would have to leave what I was doing. And with this, I'm not even sure. Because I'm not sure that the Hall of Fame is the only thing involved in this. And so that's a problem. Because I don't know that I would want to leave. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah, well, don't leave, Scott. Don't leave. Matt, don't let him
leave. Matt just went to sleep over here.
I did not go to sleep.
If he tries to leave, then grab him, put him in a burlap sack, and throw him in the old tangy.
I can do that.
Just throw him in.
Hey, the conversation, I don't know if you were listening earlier today, but I thought we were having a very unique conversation about, are people too sensitive? You know, do people take things a little too, do they not get, like this whole Olentangy thing. I mean, obviously, we're talking in a very hyperbolic fashion here. But do you think people take this stuff seriously? I mean, I'm starting to think they do. Because I'm getting chilly receptions from certain people when I go places. Because I think they think I'm referring to them. And maybe in some cases I am, but it's in a jocular fashion.
All right. People need to lighten up. I mean, life is too stressful. In general, you know, you don't need to add to it by creating drama. And unfortunately, so many people would rather create drama and headaches than just laughing and, you know, having a good time.
Well, I would think if you were being referred to, even in a bad way, you should be happy that people are paying attention to you.
That's right. I agree.
I mean, you know, I don't know. It's strange to me. I was telling Matt the other day that when I did the Bill Cosby interview years ago, there was a were you listening then when the whole Baltimore thing, the people called in from Baltimore and I don't know.
Was that Barstool or something
that thing. When that all happened, you know, they were, I can't say, I guess they were making fun in a way, but it certainly was satire. It wasn't outright fun. And I never took that negatively. I mean, I thought it was very interesting that somebody in Baltimore cared about what I was doing. And but Matt had a different philosophy on that. You said you didn't think that was a nice thing to do.
It was, I mean,
I don't remember.
I listened to those that broadcast, but you know, they're probably just jealous, to be honest. And I think that your position at the time, you know, and you gave the explanation that you're not going to ask that when it's just going to end the interview, and that's exactly what would have happened. So you gave him a platform, you know, to have the first interview, and they were probably jealous that, you know, they didn't get it or whatever. So forget them.
Well, honestly, I did. I'll tell you what. Now, this is a fun, this is an inside story. Now, this is a book story. The truth of that, Matt, I never listened to it. I don't read bad things about myself. I don't go looking for that stuff, and I certainly would have never listened to that. But I was in the car with somebody one day, and I don't know. It was right when that was happening. You know, it was probably like maybe 1 or 2 days later. Now, they started playing it. Now, I don't know. I think they said they accidentally clicked on it. I really don't know. But it was just me and this other person in the car. And it started to play. So, I listened. And you know what? I found it funny. It wasn't me. You know, I thought some of the things they were saying were funny. So, I didn't take it personally.
Well, that's how you should be. You know, people are going to be either going to be haters or they're just going to joke around with you, and you know, you can't worry about other people's, you know, opinions and feelings and things like that. You don't go out of your way to like upset people, but
depends on who you talk to. It depends on who you talk to.
Well, that's true, but yeah, people are very, very uptight and they take offense at every little thing. We need to have more freedom of expression and, you know, tolerance. You want to talk about tolerance in today's society. How about tolerance for opinion?
I just didn't find it mean-spirited. it's not like they were attacking me personally. They were attacking an interview I did. So, I mean, I don't take that personally. I mean, the interview was what it was, and you know what? As I said to them at the time, normally would I have done an interview where the interviewee said, I'm not going to answer these questions? Well, no, I wouldn't have normally, but I had to look at that. It was a very unique position in that the interview of itself being the first one as he was released from prison in and of itself was a story. So, yes, asking him about the rapes and so on and so forth, yeah, that would have been a story as well. But I thought the first interview out of prison after being, and we do have to say, wrongly imprisoned, because that's why he was let out, I thought that was a story in and of itself.
Right. No, I agree. I think you were spot on with that.
So that's why I agreed to it.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
As Marion's preeminent interviewer.
I hope that's what it says when I die. I hope it says Marion's preeminent interviewer dies at the age of 97.
Oh, man, I would hate to live to be 97, but anyway.
As long as I can get to a microphone, it'd be okay.
There you go. Who do you feel is the greatest interviewer of all time? Like, who do you look up to? And it can be more than one person, but...
You mean, now, are we talking locally, nationally, anybody?
Nationally, all time, internationally, whatever you want to say. Who do you aspire to be... Or it can be multiple people, but well, there's got to be influences. Like you had to, I know you grew up watching, you know, your mom said that you would dub over, you know, the announcing of wrestling matches when you were
well,
a kid, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that is what is very peculiar about this Hall of Fame thing. I mean, you know, that's what I was doing when I was 5 years old, dubbing over WWE matches, and now I'm being called by the WWE. I mean, there's nothing more surreal than that.
Yeah, it's full circle.
It really is. I mean, that's weird to me. But in any event...
the universe made it happen.
That's a universe thing. I mean, you know, I wasn't dubbing over CNN when I was 5 years old, so it doesn't have the same meaning.
Well, what interviewer?
Oh, okay.
Great,
well,
time.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. It's very interesting because that's a good question, but I never tried to imitate anybody because I thought that was bad. I thought trying to be, and I never really thought, I never had like a fandom of anybody because I thought that would have been bad. But there are four people who I thought were really, really good. And the closest I can ever get to are the four. But they each had a different style. One was Larry King, because I thought what Larry King was good at was live interviews. But he didn't always ask tough questions. So that's why it wasn't always Larry King. But as far as a live interview, doing it on time, being live, being there 5 days a week, Larry King was very good. Mike Wallace, if you want a hard-hitting, ask a hard question, nobody asked nastier questions than Mike Wallace and would do it with a straight face to anybody from mobsters to the Ayatollah Khomeini. So Mike Wallace was great.
What is Ayatollah Khomeini?
He was the head of Iran, and at the time they had taken the hostages. So Mike Wallace was good at asking the tough questions. Barbara Walters was the best at getting the get and being diversified, and she asked tough questions, not as rough as Mike Wallace, but Barbara Walters, if somebody was in the news, she got them, and so I admired her for getting the get and always being in the Barbara Walters became bigger than half the people she interviewed because she has the most watched interview of all time with Monica Lewinsky, which was a great get, so she was the best at that. And Phil Donahue, because Phil Donahue came from Ohio, he started the daytime talk show, he started the audience participation, and every time I say, go ahead, caller, in my mind I hear, is the caller there, which was what Phil Donahue invented. So, those would be the four. I don't know who the greatest is, and I don't think
I
like
him. You know who I like?
Who's that?
I like Mike Wallace a lot.
Mike Wallace was very good.
Back in the 50s and 60s, like, But Dick Cavett.
Dick Cavett was good, but honestly, I don't have the connection with Dick Cavett. I know people have said that about me, and he's called in, been very nice, but I really don't have the connection with Dick Cavett. I wouldn't put him in those fours category.
I think one of the nicknames was like the thinking man's interviewer, or the thinking man's host, or whatever. And he would have like very insightful comments and interactions with, like, you know, intellectual guests. And I don't know, I like watching on YouTube, you know, some of his interviews that he did. And the same thing with, like, the old Mike Wallace stuff, you know, when he was a young man or a middle-aged man. That's just how those programs were, the news programs, I mean, debates, you know. I encourage people, go watch, like, you know, any debate before 1990 and compare it to today, and there's no comparison as far as the substance and the quality of conversation that goes on. It's the same thing with interviews.
I think you knew where Dick Cavett stood. So I think that's where I don't have a connection with him in that way, although he's very good. And Mike, I don't think you knew where Mike Wallace stood. I think whoever he was interviewing, he was going to be difficult with. And I think that's why Mike Wallace was good. But when Phil Donahue came on the show, Phil Donahue was the hardest to get, period. And when he said, "You remind me of me," well, I think that's, you know, I don't know what that was he saw, but Phil Donahue was very good. But the fact that he retired and really did stay retired, I think that's why he fades into the background a little bit. Because Barbara Walters stayed into her 80s, Mike Wallace stayed into his 80s. Phil Donahue's in his 80s right now, and he's been retired since, I believe, 2003.
I think Phil Donahue was by far better than Barbara Walters. He had substantive guests like early on and stuff, and even kind of in the middle or early late part of his career. And maybe he did, you know, at the very end too. I'm just not familiar with it, but no, he was good. He was good, and I've watched different shows that he's had. With some quality guests.
There's an interview on YouTube. If you ever get a chance, search Bill Clinton, Phil Donahue from 92. When Bill Clinton was running for president, he goes on the Donahue show for an hour. Now, this is toward the end of Donahue's career. And he's got him, it's one-on-one, and the audience is obviously very pro-Bill Clinton. He went on to become president later that year. But everybody thought, oh, Donahue, the liberal, is going to be easy on Bill Clinton. He asks him every nasty question you could think of, to the point to where Bill Clinton gets angry with him. And at one point, and there's an exchange in there, I don't think this will ruin the entire 45-minute interview, but at one point, Bill Clinton said something about, "Phil, how would you like it if people were looking into every aspect of your personal life? How would you like it if people were questioning you of such and such and such and such?" And Phil Donahue's answer was great for an interviewer. He just said, "If I was offering myself up for a candidate for the highest office in the world, I would have to expect it."
Yeah.
And it's a great interview.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out.
Bill Clinton, Phil Donahue. Now, there's two of them on there. One's when he was governor. That's not the one. Watch the one when he's running from 92, when he's running for president. It is a great interview.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Because it is. It's interesting to look back and, you know, and compare the culture of yesteryear with today, and to see the stark contrast.
Well, that's why I said I came along at the right time, because I got the Phyllis Dillers and the Art Linkletters and the Jack Klugmans and the Phil Donahues and the Dick Cavetts. You know, you couldn't do it now because a lot of those people are gone. I mean, the Shecky Greens, the Maya Angelou. You know, still when I tell people I interviewed Maya Angelou, their heads roll around on the floor because now she's become sort of iconish in literature for kids. I mean, I had her on 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. Well, what do you hang your hat on as your best interview?
See, I don't know, because that's subjective. I would not be a good judge of my own stuff. So I don't know what's the best interview you ever thought I did? We're coming up on 10 years. I should have a best of program. Maybe that's what I'll do. What interview in that best of program do you want to hear clips of again? We'll delve into the archive.
Yeah, I'll get back with you on that, because I want to put some serious, like, contemplation into it. Because you do. You have a very large catalog.
I mean, I bet Adam could do a 2-hour special for the big 10th anniversary coming up, because there have been some moments. Now, the ones that, I mean, certainly interviewing Phil Donahue in his penthouse, that was something I think was very unique. Ted Williams announced he was running for president. That's what got Matt into the broadcasting business. That's part that happened during the last 10 years.
That's what got Matt into it?
Yeah. That's his story. That's his broadcasting story. Tell it, Matt. We've got a minute or two here. Go ahead and tell it.
So, one time I was on break, and I was on Snapchat, and I was going through Snapchat stories, and I saw the Snapchat story that said, "What happened to to the man with the golden voice?" And now I was unfamiliar with who Ted Williams was at the time.
Can't hear you, Matt.
Talk up a little bit. Can you hear him now?
So
from across the room.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So I was on break one day at work, and I was on Snapchat, and I was tapping through some Snapchat stories, and one of them said, "What happened to the man with the golden voice?" And so I was like, "Seems interesting enough." So I was tapping through that, and then it goes through the whole thing. Homeless man picked up by the Columbus Dispatch, offered a house by Donald Trump, or a penthouse room, that whole thing. It also said, signed by Kraft Mac and Cheese, and things like that. But it had said that he also announced he was running for president on Now with Scott Spears. And then when I had come back from break, Scott was actually here that day, so I was like, "Scott, Ted Williams announced he was running for president on your show?" And he was like, "Yeah, that did happen."
See, there you go.
There you go.
There you go. Now, who would have guessed that would have been an inspiration to somebody to get into broadcasting? But there you go.
I know.
You're in the bathroom one day, and you're going through Snapchat, and you find that out, you know. But, you know, there are a lot of those moments. Ted Williams also announced he was running for governor here. That was a big thing. The Geraldo Journal, which led on the 100th day to Geraldo Rivera appearing on the show, that was a big moment. There's a lot of things like that that have happened over the years that I've been lucky enough to be a Bill Cosby. How could we forget Bill Cosby coming out of prison? There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there are. You definitely need to do like a clip show, 10-year anniversary.
I'll tell you what I remember about those interviews.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. Well, it's a little behind the scenes. I mean, there's always a behind the scenes look into, something, you know, but I'm just afraid I'll forget things. That's the problem. I'll forget, you know, it'll be put together and I should have put that one in there. That was a good one. Because, I mean, think about this. 2 hours a day on average, 5 days a week, that's 10 hours a week, 52 weeks a year for 10 years. And that's just this show. That's not the other 12 years in broadcasting. I mean, how many thousands of hours is that?
That's a lot to go through.
It's time to retire, I think. After the Hall of Fame, maybe I'll
go ahead. You're going to be going until you're 97, remember?
97. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, well, we're done for this particular program. That's tonight.
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah. Even without that big mouth here. bothering people in Hawaii tonight.
Unlucky for them, lucky for us.
Exactly. Now, your show's coming up next?
Absolutely, yes.
Talking about football?
Talking about football free agency,
You have to talk up. Talk loud, draw a crowd. Oh, we're getting a call here. I wonder if this is your any of your people. Let's take the call real quick before we go off. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Matt. Just wanted to call and let you know, Scott, you need to tell Matt that I am the official pastor of March Madness.
I love it. I love it. Oh, the official pastor of March Madness calling into the official show of March Madness.
Does it get any better than that?
And soon we'll all have to have the official sandwich of March Madness. It'll be a thing.
You know it.
You'll have to get in on this bracketing. It's going to be interesting.
I definitely will.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for the cupcakes.
You're welcome. All happy St. Right. Patrick's Day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's all for us tonight. This is Scott Spears for Matt Morgan heading for the dugout for the 10,000th time, but still going.
Buck, the talking place.
I'm an IT guy and I have an office.